There has been a preacher, his name is John Johnson. He preached so hard, it was hot in that building, no air conditioning. It was standing room only in that little bitty building. That's the way gospel meetings were back in the 50s. Every week, my mom would take us congregation to congregation to a gospel meeting. But on this particular night, I, along with several other young people, were baptized into Christ, listening to and obeying the gospel. The summer of 1956. Wow. You know how long ago that was? I want to say, wow. Can I tell you that in many ways, that was the easiest day of my Christian life? Being born into the family of God, wow, there were so many people that loved me in that little place, so many people encouraged me. Some of you young folks have been baptized in the last while, year, 2 years. So many people loved you. You came up out of that water and people were so excited. There were high fives all around and hugs and people telling you they were proud of you. They loved you. And you know what? They did. But for some of you, that was perhaps the easiest day of your Christian life. It gets harder. And temptations start piling up and life starts tumbling in, as we say. There are real problems in life of faith. It's not easy. And when you get to college students, we have college students that will respond, and you would think it ought to be the greatest time of your life, and it is in many ways. And guess what? It is just not easy. It's not nearly as easy as that day that you were baptized in Christ. The pressures and the problems and the decisions, they're hard. They are hard. I remember that night really, really well. And I remember how neat it was and how easy it was. I have met several people over the years that I've worked with in Mid-South Youth Camp, some at Free Hartman University. And when they see me and their life is in a mess, I don't know how many people would say, I wish I could go back to Mid-South Youth Camp. I wish I could sit there on those pews and listen to you one more time in one of those early morning devotions. I really believe God was in that place. I've heard several people say that about Mid-South Youth Camp. Some of you have gone to other youth camps and you've had students to think the same thing. Camp is such a neat place, but it's so easy. Those are some easy days in your life because you are surrounded with all kinds of great people. Boy, the gospel message, when we hear it and we listen to it and we obey it, wasn't that great? Don't we feel good? But you know what? The preaching of the gospel message that I heard that night, I was baptized many times before and many times after. That gospel message to encourage me and you to be born into the family of God by baptism is just the beginning. It's just the beginning. It is just the beginning. Because you see, life is like a race, God says. And so we read and we study Hebrews chapter 12. We just witnessed all of those great characters of faith, the heroes of faith. And we've seen what they did and what many people like them have done through the years. But it was not easy. So the Hebrew writer says, yeah. We're encompassed about by a lot of witnesses. And because they are watching, because they know what we are going through, let us, you and me, let us run with endurance or patience. Many of you have been growing up here. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So tired. I get so tired. Man, if you like golf, There was a great golf tournament on today. And you just grinding there, you're going to be there at 5. And if you got here at 5, you didn't see the last part of that. Isn't that hard? If you love God, oh, that is so hard. But
some of you
ground through that, you got up and you left and you came. Even though it was hard. But isn't that an easy part of life? When life starts falling apart, and you are tempted to sin, and you are pulled into sin by the devil, you're pulled into sin by your friends, you're pulled into sin by yourself, is really the reality. Because you see, each one of us, James says, is tempted when we are drawn away by our own ungodly desires. That's what lusts are. I want to do something so much, I just can't stand it. And I'm drawn away. Those are the tough days of our lives. And that first temptation almost always is not me. That's not what I want to do. That's not what I want to be. But when somebody keeps coming back and keeps coming back and life keeps coming at you and there's something you want to do every day, you begin to grind about it. There's relationships troubles and there are family troubles and there are job troubles and there are money troubles and there are so many kinds of trouble, I can't name them all. And that's when that race, running that race with endurance, is very hard. When I was a little bit younger, in my 20s, I thought preaching the gospel is a simple matter. Look, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that there is a gospel that is to be preached about the kingdom. Matthew 24 is about, in this passage, is about the fall of the temple, the destruction of the temple. There's going to come a time, Jesus says, when there will not be one stone left upon another. But then Jesus turns from that destruction and says, this gospel of the kingdom is going to be proclaimed throughout the whole world. I thought, great, we've got to march. Let's get in step. I was at ROTC in high school in Memphis Central, and we marched. In fact, when I'm running or marching or walking now, I beat drums with my teeth. Crazy, isn't it? But I could hear that drum that we used all through high school in ROTC when we would march. Man, we would just march all down the streets of Memphis, down Bellevue Junior High where I used to go to school, and we would do whatever ROTC people do. Oh, we just march on in life, don't we? I thought we would march into the world and quote Mark 15:16 and 16, Matthew 28:19-20, and we would grow these Romans chapter 6, beginning verse 3, where we're buried into the death of Christ, when we are baptized into Christ, and we are buried and leave our sins in that grave, and we're raised to walk in newness of life. And I would convince people that's what you've got to do. And tonight, I wish there was some way to convince every person in this room who has never been baptized into Christ, that is what you need to do. And if you do tonight, or tomorrow, or the Lord blesses you with time before you leave this world, that would be just the beginning. So I thought, I'll go and I'll help people get started. So I'm marching into all the world and I go to Scotland and I preach in obscure places like Mount Zion up near Real Quick Lake, like Broadmoor near Ridgely, out in Nashville, Oklahoma, a little town. And I go where I go preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, and people are being baptized into Christ. And I thought, oh, that is great. I'm a success. Well, you know what? If all I do is teach people to repent of their sins today and be buried in Christ in baptism after believing in that gospel message of salvation, and I convince them to be born into the body of Christ, if that's where I lead them, I have helped them get in the race. But almost every one of them, in fact, every one of them will die spiritually unless the gospel continues to be preached to them. You see, what we want to hear and there are one or two people in this room, I'm afraid, that think if you hear a sermon, a gospel sermon, and it doesn't tell people to get down this aisle and repent and be baptized, the preacher has failed in preaching the gospel. I want to tell you, that ain't so. There are a lot of topics this congregation needs to hear. You need to hear. I need to hear. That is the good news about Jesus Christ. Because if somebody in this room, and there's probably at least one, that's got a lousy attitude, you go living that lousy attitude and you aren't told to be cheerful and thankful and helpful the way God teaches us in the gospel message, you are going to die spiritually. Even if you've been buried in water, we need the gospel message. Oh, we have a commission to preach, but we don't think about it the way it ought to be thought about sometimes. Many of you hear that we are some of the most mature Christians I've ever been around in this room. And so you understand when Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples, the King James Version says teach. Go therefore and teach. The word is really make disciples of all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. We'll come back over here to our youth group. You all, most of you have been baptized in Christ. I'm hoping you're getting a message from the gospel, not just for a start, but from the gospel that you're just beginning. If you live as long as I have lived, life is going to be tough in a number of ways, and you're going to face some serious temptations. Some of you might be saying, well, they're already there. They are. But run with endurance. Don't quit. Don't give up on God. Face that world that is out there. Face the problems that are out there. Stand up to the devil. Stand up to sin. Stand up to your friends. Stand up to your co-workers. And you do what God says. And the only way you're going to do that is if you become a disciple. That is, one who learns. We've got that commission. Preaching is the beginning of discipleship. The gospel message is the beginning of discipleship. Making disciples communicates the idea of a learning believer. Someone who is growing in his faith and in his love for the Lord. Oh, I've heard that before. Have you ever heard anybody say that? I didn't need that sermon. What am I doing here? I've heard that before. So we don't go. We think Sunday nights don't count, Wednesday nights don't count, and I'm not here to tell you that they count absolutely, and if you don't come to church Wednesday night, you're going to be lost in hell forever. I'm not going to say that, but I'm telling you that unless you're a disciple and you are ready and willing to learn more and more and more and more, you are probably going to die as a child of God. Because you see, this is an ongoing process. It is not something that happens and is over. It's not just the beginning of discipleship. This is the hard part. This is the beginning of observing all things. I'm going to make a confession to you that I made at camp just recently. This is very personal in a way. Some of you might think, oh, what's he talking about himself for? But let me tell you this. A lot of the things you need, I need. A lot of things I need, you need. Jan and I, in the last month and a half or so, have spent a lot of money. I confess to Jan, you know, I'm embarrassed about myself. I haven't said anything to anybody about how I felt truly about all of that. But I am embarrassed about how I feel about myself, because we still have some money in the bank. We still have plenty to eat. We owe nobody lots of money. We have much going on, and here I am grinding over spending that money. I don't know if you're like that, but I'm guessing some of you are. You see, when I'm in that kind of grinding mode, and I reach into my pocket to get the check that I'm supposed to give on Sunday morning that Jan and I have talked about, and we said we're going to give this much, observing all things. How hard is it for me to give when I'm grinding and I'm frustrated about how much money I've had to spend and what I see my bank account looking like, and I just feel so horrible some days. Because you see, observing all things like giving as I should. I'm not talking about you now, I'm talking about me. It's hard work. But you see, preaching the gospel is going to teach me to be a cheerful giver. Like slam dunking a basketball, I ought to be ready to slam dunk that gift into a plate. And be excited about it. Turn that clip about it, if you will. Exaggerating a little, because I couldn't hear that clip. And I can be cheerful as a giver to God. And that's awful hard. College students, I'm telling you about me. I'm not telling you about you. I didn't have a lot of money when I was in college. And I would go to church, and I would have $10 in my pocket, and that plate would pass by, and it would be like, I just can't go any further doing what the gospel teaches me to do, because I've only got this amount of money. I got to take Jan somewhere. We got to eat somewhere. I've got to wash my clothes. And I can give you a list of things that would tear up how much money I had in my pocket. And so I just ran right into a wall in terms of obeying the gospel message. See, I'm guessing there's at least one person in this room that's like me. You have a hard time doing all things, observing all things, whatever I have committed you. If you take a look in Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16, we have apostles, prophets, teachers. Why? So that we can do the work that we're required to do. We can edify and build up the church. Sometimes I've heard a preacher do a great job of teaching positive Christianity and saying that's what we ought to be involved in. And then I've heard somebody complain, boy, he didn't step on anybody's toes tonight. See, should we have our toes stepped on? Almost every time we listen, we will. But should we be edifying and building up and encouraging sometimes without body slamming everything and everybody inside? The gospel message teaches us that we must build and edify each other. And so the gospel message is that it is a lifelong project requiring structure and the nurturing of a church. Now, I don't know how you feel about this sermon, but you know what? It really doesn't matter if you're interested in the gospel. You will only be disappointed if I am teaching something that is wrong. There are people in this room that might do 10 times a better job than delivering the message than I, but if I am preaching the gospel message, you should be excited about it, because you see, the gospel message is not just about birthing people into Christ. It's about helping people learn, live life, and face life every day that we are out there. It really is a continuation of the conversion process. Romans 1 and verse 15, Paul is going to write, and is writing, in the process of writing, to a church where many people have been born in the family of God. He's writing to those members of the church. He said, I am eager to preach the gospel to you who also are in Rome. He couldn't wait to get back to Rome to preach to the church. Those of you who've been members of the body of Christ for many years, and you're in this room tonight, you have probably appreciated the preaching that men have done in sermons over the years, preaching to you. Helping you think about things. Helping you move from one thing to another. Growing up, if you will, in Christ. And there's not a person in this room who does not need to continue to grow. So preaching is a continuation of a conversion process. It obviously begins with teaching people about being born in the family of God. So I can make this for some of you who believe that it has to be done every sermon, so I can make this a gospel sermon for you. I want to tell you that that commission to preach says you go and in the process of making disciples, those people who are dedicated to a life of learning and love for God, you need to be baptized in Christ. Because you go, you make disciples, you baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You see, His purpose is to have our sins removed, to clean us up so we can enter the kingdom of God. You cannot enter God's kingdom with sin in your life. You cannot stay faithful to God with sin that is dominating your life. So we need to teach people to be baptized in Christ. When Nicodemus came to Jesus, Nicodemus didn't really understand what needed to be done. And when Jesus told him, in the way that Jesus told him, he didn't understand. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus said, truly, truly, this is for real and true. This is not something I'm just teaching to fill up 45-minute sermon. It is about what is really true. I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So if you're in this room tonight and you want to listen to the gospel message, you will hear the message. Or at least something you don't hear, you will hear that message and you will believe it and you will respond in love. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. When those people on Pentecost wanted to know what they needed to do, when they discovered through the preaching of Peter that they had murdered Jesus of Nazareth, who was, in fact, God's Son, they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? And so in verse 38 of Acts 2, Peter responds by saying, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Everybody that's a member of any body of Christ, there's one body, many congregations, but if you're a member of any congregation and a member of the body of Christ, the Spirit of God dwells in you. You may want to fuss about how that happens, and I don't want to fuss with you tonight about anything, but I want you to listen to the gospel message. The Spirit of God that gives life to all men in Christ is in you. That's a promise from God. You cannot avoid that. You might want to fuss about a number of things, but in your fussing, accept the fact that you receive the gift of the Spirit of God. The Spirit that is in your physical body gives that physical body life. How does that work? I don't know. I've never seen the Spirit that gives this body life. But I can tell you this, when Jesus describes death, the Spirit that gives this body life leaves it. The body is no longer useful for the purpose of life in this world. The body goes back to dust. The Spirit returns to God. You believe you have a Spirit in you. Why can you not believe and accept that the Spirit of God indwells you and gives you life? It is God's Spirit that interjects life into His kingdom, the people who make up His kingdom. And so unless you are born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That means God's kingdom on earth, which is His church. It means God's eternal kingdom in heaven. So I encourage you to listen to the gospel message. I encourage you to repent of your sins. Now we had it on the screen this morning. Repent of your sins. After having heard the message, believing in Jesus as God's Son and making that great confession, you be buried with Christ. It's the gospel message. The good news about how we come to life in Christ. This is hard for me. Growing up has been very hard for me. I am still so immature in many of my ways. I think some things are funny that some of you would cover your face and be embarrassed about. I just never got over that kind of childhood humor. And my sense of humor is so strange. You might walk away from me rolling your eyes. And all I can say to you is, growing up is still not easy for me. Some of you came out of the womb mature. Wasn't me. I'm still reaching out there trying to grow up. And that's really true spiritually. I am still reaching out there trying to grow up. The true gospel is the complete revelation that God has given to man. It is not just getting people into the kingdom. Is that important? We just said you can't enter the kingdom of God without it. That's how important those fundamental principles are. But once people are born into the kingdom, we get the feeling we don't need preaching anymore. You go preach to somebody who needs it, but everybody in this room needs to be preached to. Every one of us. I remember several years ago when I was vice president of Free Hartman, Brother Gardner asked me to talk to the faculty about something that he had asked me not to do, but several continued to do. So I got up at the faculty meeting and I was restating what Brother Gardner had asked me to restate and telling him that we were going to have to do something unless you stopped doing parking and we were going to give them tickets. So faculty, hey, said, don't you faculty? We were going to give them tickets, and one older faculty member who taught Bible came to me and said, Lord, you were preaching to me today. And I called him by his name, and I smiled, and I said, and you need it as much as anybody in this room, because you will not listen to Brother Gardner. You see, all of us, this was a very mature man in many ways. He was going to do what he wanted to do. Do you know anybody like that? Some of you were sitting in the same seat. I mean, right in the same spot with somebody like that. But we grow up and we never get there. Always out there in front of us. Everything that is necessary to teach, to correct, to motivate, where we've got out there in the gospel, we need to be preaching the gospel message to every nation to bring them into the kingdom and then help them grow so they can inherit. That's the gospel message. Do you need to obey tonight as a person who needs to be born in the family of God, in the kingdom of God, or as a child of God who needs to turn back to God? All of us have to listen every day and obey every day the gospel message. If you need to be born again that life of God, please do tonight. If you're a child of God, don't leave without coming home to God. It's not about coming home to Boy Sharp or this congregation. It's about coming home to God. So if you need to respond, please do. Let's stand, let's sing, and you come if you need to.